Today we're going to study Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 to 25. On the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "I am going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you." Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, 'Be careful that you do not approach the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain is to be put to death. They are to be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on them. No person or animal shall be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they approach the mountain.'" After Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them and they washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, "Prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from sexual relations. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning and a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. They stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, 'Go down and warn the people, so they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them.' Moses said to the Lord, 'The people cannot come up Mount Sinai because you yourselves warned us. Put limits around the mountain and set it apart as holy.' The Lord replied, 'Go down and bring Aaron up with you, but the priests and the people must not force their way through to come up to the Lord, or he will break out against them.' So Moses went down and told to the people and told them." Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 to 25. So the story of Joseph was the final chapter in the book of Genesis. The very next chapter is the book of Exodus. And the book of Exodus chronicles the passing of 400 years as the Israelites grew from a small group of 70 people to a group of millions within the borders of Egypt. The leadership of Egypt had changed, and the disposition of the ruling pharaoh was drastically different from the pharaoh that Joseph served. Tensions and fears flared up, And eventually the Egyptians enslaved and oppressed the Israelites and even instituted policies to kill male infants. In spite of the Egyptian oppression, God continued to bless the Israelites and they continued to multiply. Then a very special child was born. He was named Moses. And it was this Moses who God would appoint as the leader of the Israel nation to break them out of slavery and lead them to the promised land. In many ways, the story of the Israelites being freed from Egyptian bondage is the story of every Christian, because God appointed Jesus to set us free from the bondage of sin. And it is the very Jesus who guides us all our lives to our eternal home. But in these verses, we read that something very special happened. The people of Israel had an encounter with God. This event took place on Mount Sinai, and it's a very unique event because God revealed himself to the entire community of Israelites, not just to one person. Everyone who was there never forgot the experience. The Hebrew writer wrote this about the event: "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. Even if even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, 'I am trembling with fear.'" Today I want to talk about the preparation that took place for this encounter to happen. The reason I want to talk about this is because I strongly believe that even today, God desperately wants to reveal himself to us. God wants to reveal himself to us individually, but I also believe that God wants to reveal himself to us as a community of believers. I also believe that we need an encounter with God, similar to the Israelite experience. The first thing that I observe in this passage is that God initiated the encounter. He initiated it. He said, "I want to reveal myself to these people." That's the heart of God. He wants to reveal himself to you, to us. He wants to engage with us. He wants to have dialogue with us. And he articulated his vision for the Israelite people. He says, "You've seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." All of that is relational. He says, "I took care of Egypt and I brought you to me. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." That was God's vision for the Israelites. He said, "Although the whole earth is mine, I could do what I want with any nation." He says, "You are going to be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." What an incredible vision that God had for the people of Israel. And Moses goes to the people and he shares this vision with the people. And they say, "We will do everything the Lord has said." And God hears the response of the people. And then God says, "I am going to come to you in a dense cloud. So when the people hear me speaking with you, they will always put your trust in you." God said, "I'm going to come to these people and I am going to speak words so that they can hear." And what we see in the text is that God initiated an encounter with the people, and he wanted them to hear his voice. I think this is important, because listening to the voice of God is the primary mechanism through which we actually get to know God. Listening to his voice. I knew the sound of my mother's voice long before I was ever able to make out what she looked like. I heard her voice when I was in her womb. Jesus affirms this truth. In John chapter 10, verse 3 to 5, he says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. The sheep listen to the voice of the shepherd. And if we consider ourselves to be God's sheep, then shouldn't we also listen to his voice? The people needed to prepare themselves for an encounter with God. So the stage has now been set. And God told Moses, I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking. But the people had to be prepared for that encounter. And look at the instructions Moses received from God. Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day. Because on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Let's break these instructions down. Go to the people. Again, this is all initiated from God. Moses had to go to the people. Then he had to spend 2 days consecrating them, today and tomorrow. And then they had to wash their clothes. A big laundry day for the community. And then they had to be ready by the third day. Everybody had to be ready. Nobody could be running late. Oh, man, I had too much clothes to wash. Oh, I didn't. They all had to be ready on this particular day. Why? Because on the third day, the Lord said, I'm going to come down to Mount Sinai, and you better be ready. And so my point is, when I read this passage, it says the people had to do something to be ready for this encounter. They had to be consecrated. They had to wash their clothes, and their actions, their intentional actions of being consecrated and of washing their clothes enable this encounter to take place. Let's talk about what it means to consecrate. To consecrate means to set something aside, something or someone aside, set them apart for God to manifest himself. So in Old Testament history, when the tabernacle was built, when the temple was built, the structure was consecrated, it was set apart, and it became a dwelling place for God. In this passage, the people were to be set apart because the God of heaven and earth would, for the first time in history, make himself known to this community of people. They had to wash clothes. And I thought a lot about this. First of all, you have to know there were millions of people there. There were adults, there were men, there were women, there were children. Whenever you wash clothes, you need water, right? They were in a desert. So where did they get water from? I mean, not like if you could just go down and just turn on a tap and, oh, there's the water. They didn't. That, all of that wasn't invented yet. They had to go and find water. Did they all go at the same time? I mean, it wasn't like if there was a big fashion industry in Israel at the time. They probably had one garment, maybe, and they had to wash that garment, take it off. They probably had to be almost naked for the garment to dry and then put the garments back on. These are the things that I get preoccupied with when I'm working on sermons, right? But how do you organize that? You're talking about millions of people. Do the women go separately? Do they do it tribe by tribe? The point is this. This was a huge undertaking. And the act of being consecrated dominated the agenda of the entire community. This was an entire community doing this. It wasn't like, well, we feel like we want to get consecrated, so we're going to do our thing over here, and the rest of the people over there. No, it was everybody doing this. If you wanted to be a part of this community, everybody had to do this. What if the people didn't feel like being consecrated? I don't feel like doing this. What if it interrupted their Netflix movie? What if the act of being consecrated interrupted their gaming? What if the act of being consecrated meant that they didn't have time to get their hair done? What if the act of being consecrated meant that they couldn't watch that NFL playoff game that they were really trying to look at? And what if, in order to be consecrated, you couldn't roast those doggone coffee beans, Donald? What would have happened if they just didn't feel like doing it? Well, they would have never heard the voice of God. God would have never come down on that mountain. They would have never had that experience. And I think irreparable harm would have been done to their relationship with God. Should Christians today be concerned about being consecrated? Should we be concerned about it? Or is this just a thing of the past? I say yes. Why? Why should Christians be concerned? Because God has the same vision for the church as he had for the nation of Israel. Look at what it says in Revelation 5. They sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests, a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth." Does that sound a little familiar to what we just read in Exodus? It's the exact same vision. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. So every believer in Christ is a participant in this vision. God has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve him. We are part of God's kingdom. And while we are on earth, we serve as priests. A priest is someone who represents or acts as an intermediary between God and human beings. This is true for every single believer, not just me because I'm the pastor. So, yes, we have to be concerned about our consecration. Should we in the Queens region of the New York City Church of Christ be concerned about our consecration? Yes. Yes, we should. Our congregational theme for 2026 is train yourself to be godly. That's our theme. Train yourself to be godly. The theme is taken from this passage, 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for the present and the life to come. The Apostle Paul instructs Timothy to withdraw or separate himself from godless myths and old wives' tales and to engage in training himself to become a godly person. So the principle we discover in this passage is this: a person must intentionally avoid certain activities in order to work on their spiritual development. We must pull away from certain things in order to devote our time and our energy to our spiritual development. And so what we're going to concentrate on this year is what we must do as individuals, what we must do in our community groups, and what we must do in this church as a whole to encourage the formation of a godly character in every single believer. That's what we want to focus on this year. And my question is, do you see yourself as a consecrated individual today? Do you see yourself as such? What I want you to imagine, if over the next few months, every member of the church took the time to learn how they can consecrate themselves so they can encounter God. Imagine if every one of us learned, well, what do we have to extract ourselves from? What do we have to pull away from in order to devote ourselves to our spiritual maturation? What do we have to cut out of our daily routine? What do we have to put in to our daily routine so that we can consecrate ourselves so we can have an encounter with God? If every single member in Queens took the time to learn how they can consecrate themselves, do you not think that God will visit us? Do you not think that? I think so. I think if we are prepared, and if we're humble, and if we're expectant, God will show up in ways that we do not even expect. And I think that it would be a tremendous congregational experience for all of us to see each other making decisions to become more godly, to see one another striving to be the priests that God intends for us to be on this earth. And this is my hope and prayer as we begin our year. And I hope you can join us and be excited about the future that God has in store for us in 2026. Amen.